Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. We have over 100 shows for you to listen to throughout the years. And guys, I just got back from the Super Geek Film Festival, which took place down in Miami. And while I was there, I had a chance to meet the crew of The Unusual Calling of Charlie Christmas. And I actually have on the line Kenny Pitts, the producer and actor from that film. Let's bring him on the line. Kenny, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Thanks for having me today.
Good. Glad you made it back to Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a long trip with four of the Outsiders Productions crew in there, but we made it.
Yeah, you drove all the way.
Yep.
Yeah, let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about your movie for those that didn't get a chance to see it.
Oh, the movie we had playing at the Super Geek Film Festival at the Florida Supercon, it's called The Unusual Calling of Charlie Christmas. It's about an awkward 30-something-year-old janitor who has never really recovered from the loss of his parents when he was a kid. And so he, just being kind of numb and removed from society, he starts receiving a higher vision because he's tired of bullying. Not even just bullying. He's tired of negativity and just people being pushed and prodded in society. And he receives that higher calling and becomes a superhero, a masked vigilante. And
were you ever
after
bullied
that,
as a kid?
I'm sorry?
Were you ever bullied as a kid? Yourself?
No, I wasn't bullied. I think I was always, I probably could have been because I was a pretty, I think, nice kid, but I was always taller than people. So if I wasn't so tall, maybe they would have bullied me. But I
wondered
think we
what
all...
you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Must have a weird delay. Go ahead. Sorry, Rachel.
No, I was just saying, you brought so much to that character. I was wondering what you drew upon to get into that role.
Oh, well, thank you. Adam Hampton, the writer-director, he had written it for me, and we've been friends for a long time, and he knew pieces of my life, even all the way when I was 19, my mom had passed away, and it's very interesting that a few months before we even started filming, then my father had passed away.
Oh, wow.
So I know I must have, drawn some of that into that, and I'm also a socially awkward guy, so I think I was able to bring that in really easily.
That's funny. Yeah, I was going to ask you how you got involved. So have you and Adam been friends for a long time?
Yes, we're from the same town in Oklahoma, Shawnee, Oklahoma. And we didn't really meet until we went like about 70 miles south and went to college down in Ada, Oklahoma, ECU. We didn't really hang out until then, but we basically grew up a mile apart.
Wow.
So we had to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were also
college,
a producer on the film.
Yes. I was actor, producer, and we're a pretty micro-budget crew, so we don't have a lot of money or barely any, and so being a producer, it's more of just making calls and coordination and a lot of headache. You're the first person that gets to call when an actor can't show up, and then you're the person who has to tell the rest of the crew, hey, we can't go because the actor didn't show up. So it's fun stuff.
Hopefully. Yeah. I was going to ask you about budget. How did you go about getting the budget for this?
The budget-wise, during shooting and pre-production, that was out of our own pockets. And even during production, a lot of people help and donate, especially with food on set. And, you know, with the catering, we got a lot of help that way. As far as raising money ahead of time, the one thing we actually raised money, and we had a pretty good, pretty cool, successful Kickstarter, we had to raise post-audio money for the audio cleanup and even the score. So that was the only thing that we actually got ahead of time. As far it was all shot, and then we did the Kickstarter.
And you seem to have a lot of locations, including a school.
Yes.
Was it hard to get permission to film there and get permits? And do they even need permits in Oklahoma? I don't know how it works out there.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. In one town, we needed a permit, and then in another town, we just had to call the cops and let them know, hey, we're going to be here at this location, and let them know when we're leaving, especially with Charlie Christmas, because I had knives and Chinese Star and a bat on me, so I didn't want to, and a mask. So
yeah.
I was just, even letting them know that I was out there, you know, even that image is probably still shocking to a cop. So I treaded lightly whenever I was around people. I made sure I stayed with the crew and didn't explore off when I was in costume.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, there's a lot of physicality that you had to do as a character. Did you kind of work out and beef up for this and you know, get into the role that way?
Yeah, definitely. It was a good motivation, especially when you hit that 30 mark. You just 30-year-old, you don't really you work out less. So I was probably softer at the beginning of the movie than I had been in a while. So it was a great motivator to work out and basically just traded some fat for muscle, if you will, and just got in better shape. And it's kept me motivated since. So I'm glad I can do a role like that to motivate me and just kind of keep that health going.
Mm-hmm. Were you lifting weights, or how did you work out?
Lifting weights and running, your basics. Would hit the bag a little bit too, and even practice with some of the weapons I was using.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that too. Did you have a lot of fight choreography or weapon training, anything like that?
Most of the fight coordination came from Adam and I, and I would usually get with the actors. We'd kind of come up with a routine. Or Adam and I would have something in mind first. I would get with the actors, kind of work it out, and then once we had that worked out, get with Adam and kind of hone it to his vision of how he wanted it to go. And we also had another guy. His name was Troy Scott. He had done choreography with some of the local, like, theme parks and fighting. So while we were on set, he would help out, too, with some modifications that we might need to do, and not even just with fight in any film. Things change when you're on the set because it's not the perfect laboratory. So he would help, and things modify. So between the way we did that with our buddy Troy coming on, it kind of just evolved from that to get the final image of what Adam wanted on screen.
How did y'all decide on the wardrobe for your character with the mask and just the whole overall look?
And that's another thing. Adam was a great artist, too, and into comic books. So he had even pictures and drawings of what he wanted Charlie Christmas to look like. We definitely wanted, like, a utility belt and a trench coat. The number one constant was, even in pre-production, was the a hockey mask, because the iconography of Charlie being afraid of horror movies. And so that was the constant. But what we got here in Oklahoma, we went to some of the Army surplus stores and got some tactical things and got the trench coat. I mean, we didn't have that specific type of trench coat or that specific type of utility belt. We just kind of evolved and got with our seamstress to help even modify it, and it was just trial and error. We had a great image of how we wanted to go, but then we went tried to go realistic. What would he pick if we were him right now in this Army surplus store? What would we choose?
You mentioned comics. You actually have a comic book for the character. Was that made before or after making the movie?
That was after. It was going to be used to promote. It's basically, if you watch the Charlie Christmas movie, you'll know this. If you haven't, holler at us on Facebook, Outsiders Productions on Facebook, and we'll talk about getting a copy. But the comic book is basically in the middle of the movie. There's a montage scene. And so the comic book is basically a story that would have happened right in the middle of that montage. And it was, and then we have on Funny or Die, an 8-minute short that basically happens right after that comic book. So there's even a video online. It's called Charlie Christmas, Corn Dogs and Justice. And so you can see that on Funny or Die. And Charlie Christmas is a drama. It's got some good emotion. But we put that on Funny or Die because for 8 minutes, it was easier to capture an audience and tease them with some Charlie Christmas with the action and comedy. It would have been harder to really generate all the emotion just in that 8 minutes. So we kind of focused on the comedy and the action in that short.
Mm-hmm. And the funny, I don't remember the character eating corn dogs. All I remember is the Cheetos. That was
Cheetos, wasn't it,
that you're eating with the fork? That was so funny to me. And it was so perfect for the character.
Well, good, good. I'm glad you liked that. And that's what we were going for. We wanted to make Charlie very, very quirky without seeming that he was just too dumb or even too removed from society somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many little subtle details like that in the film that really made it work, I think.
Thank you.
Tell me about the cast besides yourself. How did he go about finding all the cast? It seemed like you guys had a lot of people.
Yeah, we had hundreds of people, extras and all that.
Wow.
It was a very daunting task to take, but I'm very proud of it. As far as the main cast, Adam, the writer-director, he plays Brad, the next-door neighbor's husband, and he wrote it for himself, and he was going to play that from the beginning, and does a great job because everybody hates him,
after
the movie.
Julia
Curry plays Gracie. She has acted in some of our projects before, and she's a great actress, and we kind of had her in mind for that. And let's see, Charlie's brother is played by John Fraser, and that actually is Adam Hampton's uncle-in-law. Adam's wife's uncle, and he played that really well. He's not even a seasoned actor, but he actually comes from the circus life. He was a lion tamer.
Wow.
And so he just has that on-screen charisma without saying anything. So I think that's where that comes from. But he's acted with us prior. It's a lot of these people that we used aren't constant actors who were out there in the biz. We used people that we knew and fit the part right. Charlie's best friend Denny in the movie, his name is actually Thor Henson, and he's from our town. He lives in Norman, Oklahoma right now. But that's one of my biggest things that happened as far as the classical cutting room floor. We had to cut a lot of Denny's scenes. He was in it quite a bit more, and he is such a great actor that we hated to cut him, but just to make the story go, some of the things that had to get cut mostly were his scenes. But he's a guy we've known for a while, too.
Wow, is there going to be a director's cut or something that includes that?
You know, that's a good question. It might have to be 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I'll make it a TV
series. About the people that were on the street that interview went on with the people on the street asking about Charlie Christmas? Was that something where you just knew some people and you're like, we're going to give them a couple lines, or were they in the cast in the beginning? How did you get those people?
That was basically, we had some specific people that we wanted, like the girl who wears the I Heart Vigilante shirt. We definitely wanted her in that shirt to say what she's saying. And even to do that in the montage, because we even run by her. But basically, it was what's in the movie is a small fraction of what we did. You can even see more of those on YouTube on some of the trailers. But basically, we treated them as extras, and just rounded up a bunch of extras one day, and said, "Hey, you know, you can let them kind of do what they wanted. Do you like the vigilante or do you not, and why?" And just go off, and we use sort of the ones we like the best. And
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that was the one we actually shot in Oklahoma City, so we had to get a permit definitely for that one, because we even asked some people off the street, too, that didn't even know us. So it was even good marketing just to say, hey, we have this movie, and some people actually did it and liked it, and we used some really good ones.
Oh, great. Did you have a lot of improv throughout the movie, or was it really sticking to the script for the most part?
I didn't have a lot of improv, and Charlie speaks very minimally. He didn't have a lot of lines, and so the little ones I did, I tried to speak, what exactly was on it, and Adam's a great writer, and he I try to stick to as much as he can get, but he's not even he's not too hardcore on that. He'll if the emotion's there and he gets the performance he wants, he's not going to be a stickler to, oh, you missed this word, you know what I mean? So I didn't have a lot of, I think action-wise, I had a lot of ad-lib because we tried a couple ways, you know, in a fight or even just in janitoring in the school. We would try, hey, you know, come down here, do it this way. So there was a lot of just trying it from different angles. Since I wasn't speaking, we could didn't have to match up audio on a lot of what I did because I was home alone a lot, you know.
Yeah, talking about writing, the scenes that he wrote, obviously, for himself with Gracie, was it difficult for all of the characters involved to do those scenes that were had the violence with her?
I think it was more difficult for... Go ahead, sorry.
No, that was it.
Sorry. I think it was more difficult for us because she was gung-ho. She was ready. Uh-huh. She was like, you know, beat me up. You know, do what you need to do. And we're more hesitant. Obviously, he was the one fighting with her, so he didn't want to hurt her by any means. Obviously, we don't want to hurt anybody. And so it was more the person who's throwing the punch is probably is worried more than the person taking the punch because the one throwing doesn't want to hurt the other person. And the other person, we had a great actor crew of fighters and people doing those physical things. Mostly they were our friends, you know, just people we pick that fit the part right. And, you know, everybody was on board. I mean, there was, like I said, if you're throwing the punch, you're more worried because you don't want to hurt them. The other person is like, just bring it on. Let's capture it on film.
Did everybody do their own fight scenes, or were there stunt coordinators that came in and did some of the scenes, or how did that work?
No, everybody did. Everybody did their own. It was, yeah, everybody was right there on screen doing it.
Yeah, you had a lot of fight scenes.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of violence involved in this, but, you know, it comes off as being very justified because of who the character is. And also, faith is a big part of it. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and you know, the justification of the violence? You know, is he doing God's work? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, and it goes back to that, and Adam has explained this a couple times too. It goes back to the bullying, domestic violence. One of the, you know, in just following a good path, you know, that image of the higher calling is, it could be, you know, obviously religion-based without giving away too much. But it's still Charlie's, you know, perception. And so, and that was what guided him. And it, even with some of the results of violence, we wanted to do it in a real way where, you know, if you go, and then I'm quoting Adam right here, he always says, you know, in the movies, John Wayne rolls to town and punches the person and then leaves town. Well, what about the town? The victim and the bad guy are still there. And that's kind of what we did with Charlie Christmas. You couldn't just have Charlie roll up and then all of a sudden the next day he's going to be different. And that's, you know, even though it was justified, like you said, what Charlie was doing was justified because of all the abuse and, you know, some of the criminal activity. And we wanted to keep it real and also, you know, just good-hearted and, you know, whether that was Christian. Obviously, that's, you know, where we are from too, but we wanted to keep it justified, good, and real.
It was great. You guys had good lighting in a lot of the scenes. You know, where you had where you're just by yourself. You had great mood lighting in some of those scenes, and then the outdoor fight scenes were well lit.
Thank you.
Now, talk a little bit about what you filmed with, what kind of camera you used, and some of the equipment that was used.
Another member of Outsiders Productions is Jason Alexander, and he was the director of photography. And he used, we used the XL2, which is, you know, we started a couple years ago, and having the micro budget, we, you know, it took us a couple years. We all have day jobs, people had kids, and even got married during the full production. And so by the time it was done, it was almost like, since that was a standard definition camera, it wasn't even HD, it was almost like we had a complete project on a camera that is being, you know, weaned out of the world from using. But I feel proud of how it looks, and we do get a lot of compliments and surprises that it was standard definition. And it was even a learning process even before that. This is our, like, fourth or fifth full length, and so even shooting at night with our budget and the lights we had was a challenge. But I think, you know, Jason Alexander did a great job. Chad Matthews and Jason Garner, who also are on the crew and part of the Outsiders, they were a great team for the, you know, that technical side of it. And I think we learned a lot. We made a great project, but we also learned a lot doing those, the lighting. And we used what we had. It might not have been, you know, a big Hollywood lighting kit, but we used what we had, and I think utilized it to the fullest and made some really good mood scenes.
If you were to do it again, what would you change? What would you do differently?
Let's see. That's a good question. I would say, obviously, we would go to the HD camera. That's interesting. I would try to even be in better shape. That's selfish. That's personal. I would try to do that. That's very interesting. Some of those, you know, it might even be with trying to get some of that bigger production equipment. Even though I said we utilized what we had to the fullest, if we had more, we could utilize that to the fullest. So I would say if we had to do it again, just equipment, because I think the actors, I think all the actors were great. I think they did a great job. So I would just try to, you know, get more equipment.
There was such a great message, like I mentioned, to this, and it was serious, but also had moments that were funny. What do you hope that people walk away with after watching this?
I would think they would walk away with just, you know, that hope and stick to your guns, but, you know, and respect and love. I would think that would be it, and in knowing to do all that to make change, that it's hard. Like with Gracie, you know, with her troubles with next door. That's one of those things where change just doesn't happen overnight. So you know, patience. I just think, and it all comes down to respect and love, and that respect could be for yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Like with her struggle in there.
Yeah, there's so much involved in that film, and it's a lot of inspiration, too. The way that he is able to, it's almost like Rocky, you know.
Thanks.
And, you know, or like Mr. Mom, if you ever saw that Mr. Mom, when he does, he becomes a housewife, and then he picks himself up, and he's, you know, fighting for his life. Although that's done in a comic way, it's just one of those movies that really makes you feel good. Like, wow, look at that. Look what he did. You know, look what I can do, you know, if you're in a place where that you're feeling down. So I think it was great. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say also being more of the real-life superhero person without powers, I think the biggest comparison would be like Batman. But Charlie Christmas isn't a billionaire, and he's not suave. So I think having a guy like this is very inspiring, because he, you know, he's the everyman. Or even maybe at the point at the beginning of the movie, he might even be worse off than the everyman. So I think that's why he could be very inspiring like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was, like I mentioned, screened at the Super Geek Film Festival. And it was screened at a lot of other film festivals. What's next? Are there more festivals coming up for you? Is it going to be in distribution?
We are in talks with distribution. We got a couple of people we're talking to. I know that's kind of like the classic line, but it's just, you know, fingers crossed that you can get the right deal and the right company. And I'd love to get distribution for Charlie. We do have a couple film festivals, some regional ones right now, close to Oklahoma. We have, actually in the next couple months, we have next week in Fort Worth, the Fort Worth Indie Film Showcase. We're going to be playing the unusual Calling of Charlie Christmas and our other project called Rough Cut, which is a web series about Oklahoma filmmakers. And then we have two in Oklahoma, in Enid, Oklahoma, called the Fly Film Festival in August 1st to 3rd. And then in Stillwater, Oklahoma, we have the Red Dirt Film Festival on September 19th and 20th. And then we'll be in the Austin Indie Flick Showcase on in September 25th and 28th. That's kind of the next best. Like I said, they're regional and close to Oklahoma and Texas. So hopefully those go well, and hopefully we have fingers crossed for a couple other ones. Waiting to hear for one in the UK. That it's kind of a long shot. It would be cool to get Charlie over the ocean and show over there.
Would you go there if you got in?
You know, I'm. It's a good problem to have. It's kind of like complain bragging, but I'm starting to get broke from all the festivals that we've gone to. But,
yeah, I bet.
I think I would become broker to go over there.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be driving to that one.
No, I couldn't do that, yeah.
Why don't you give everybody your website so they can check out more about the film?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Charlie has the website. It's charliechristmas.com. We have some videos, we have some merchandise, we have the latest happenings with Charlie Christmas. And another way to see all of Outsiders Productions' happenings would just be Outsiders Productions, both plural, so that's Outsiders Productions, and that's on Facebook. So if you can find us on Facebook, look us up. We got some stuff on there that's kind of more of a overall schedule for the crew. And my name's Kenny Pitts. Look me up, too. Befriend me. I'll be your friend.
You mentioned Rough Cut. Tell me a little bit more about that. That's a web series, and it's done, and it's up somewhere?
Well, no, the first episode is done, and we've been sending it to film festivals, and it's also going to be a companion piece as far as taking a trip to all those festivals I mentioned with Charlie just a few minutes ago. It's going to be going there, too, so it'll be cool to have two projects in all of those. But what it is it's a we're going to do a web series. We're going to have three or four episodes in the bag before we put it online. So it's still going to be a couple more months. We have the first episode done. We've been getting really good response. And there's a couple trailers online on Vimeo. You can look up Rough Cut Trailer 1. And it basically follows a group of independent filmmakers in Oklahoma. And it's a comedy, but it even comes off more, sad at times and even tragic, because doing what we do is, any filmmaker who does it without a budget is just, especially if they got family or a 40-hour-a-week job, it's hard. You know, you're up till 3 a.m. working on a shoot, and you might have, a wife and kids at home, and you're doing that 3 a.m. shoot and not even getting paid. So that's part of the tragedy and sadness of doing that. It just shows, the love for following your dream, and that's basically what Rough Cut is about. It's about Oklahoma filmmakers, but it goes beyond Oklahoma, and it goes beyond filmmakers.
Do you think Oklahoma is becoming kind of a film hub? I mean, we had like three filmmakers from Oklahoma, which is just amazing, that were all great films, too.
Oh, yeah. I think so. There's a we're making a lot of great contacts, great friends now, and they have a film festival, a couple film festivals in here. Like I said, two of the ones I mentioned are new Oklahoma fests, and there's a lot of people starting to make it around here. It'd be great because it's mid-America. It'd be great if that was a hub right in the middle, separating both coasts. There's a place in the middle of Oklahoma City. It's called Film Row, and it was some film theater and some filming areas they used to do, I think, back in the 50s and 40s even, and now they're starting to refurbish that and make it even a cool hangout place, and it's really doing great promotion for Oklahoma film, and they're even doing some of the tax incentives to get with some of even the bigger productions to film out here. So it's been in the works for a while, and I think it's a great place to make films, and I'm glad we're doing it here.
Mm-hmm. And you've been in some other productions as an actor. I saw that you're in a film called Tempest Fugit. Is that coming up? Is that done?
That was our buddy Nick Sanford. He had made that, and I played a small role of a coach. And it was a short, kind of like a Twilight Zone type of horror short. And Adam Hampton, he actually, he didn't do any writing or directing, but he was actually, he played the lead in it.
And that okay.
Yeah, so he played the lead in that one. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. And it's kind of, it's just been released in this 2014. So Nick Sanford, he's sending it to film festivals and just doing that waiting game, fingers crossed, of getting in the next festival. And it's got some great response, too.
Great. Now, do you like being behind the scenes, or do you like to be in front of the camera more?
I would rather, this sounds kind of funny because I've been producer and on the crew on everything we've done with Outsiders Productions. It would be great just to be an actor because you wouldn't have to worry about the hassle of the calls, the organization, the traffic. But, you know, I that's what I lean towards with some of my specialties. And making contacts, you know, I like doing both, but if I had to choose one, it'd probably just be the acting. You know, that way you can you just pretend to be somebody else, and you think it's fun, but at the end of the day, it's still fun, but it drains you like in such a crazy amount that you almost sound like a wimp. It's like, oh, I'm tired from acting all day, but I like that drain.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, did you train to be an actor? Are you self-taught?
I think it's more of a, you know, smaller roles and experiencing from those roles. I had, in college, I probably had two acting classes. And my degree was in mass communications and even exercise science. But in mass communications, it was more on the video production side. And so I had two acting classes, but most of my experience came from the things we've done. Like before Charlie Christmas, I didn't have a big role in anything we'd done. I've kind of had smaller roles and stayed as the producer, which I'm glad it happened that way. I can get a slow experience of from each project and then knowing how it works, you know, not knowing how to even be an actor and even etiquette without just knowing how to work. Being a producer and an actor, I knew probably from that how not to act on set, you know.
How not
to treat the crew and just respect, basically.
Yeah, you're so natural in that
thank
role.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you more and other things.
No, thanks. Thank you. I think I learned quite a bit.
Go ahead.
Oh, that was it.
Okay. Well, before we run out of time, I want to see if there's any other websites that you want to give out for you personally as well.
Oh, no, that would be it. Just like I said, Outsiders Productions on our Facebook, and then you can go to charliechristmas.com and be looking for Rough Cut, you know, sometime at the end of 2014, hopefully, or early 2015, we would have the web series ready to go. But, you know, follow us on our Facebook page, and we'll keep you up to date on that. And, you know, just any following you would like to do, anybody out there, hey, come look at us.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Kenny.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Will do. Will do.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, we'll see you later. Thanks.
Okay, well, that was a great conversation with Kenny Pitts, and you can go back if you missed any of those websites. You can listen to this over and over and over again and get all those websites and that information. But I mentioned that he was part of the Florida SuperCon Super Geek Film Festival, which is where I was. And like I said, we had several Oklahoma filmmakers, including Kyle Roberts of the Posthuman Project, who I had on this show already, and Ricky Kennedy with the History of Time Travel. So I was able to meet crews from all of those films. Also, the crew from Army of Frankenstein was there, the director of Rise of the Robots, the crew for Cosplayer Nation. Gosh, we had so many. And it was very successful, the film festival, 10 times more successful than I could have dreamed, actually. We had 63 films, and including student films. We gave out awards for undergrad and high school students, and we had several panels, many different panels on composing, acting, more filmmaking. I had personally three panels that I did, one on independent filmmaking, talking to the independent filmmakers. I also had a panel of women behind the camera, and one with our attorney Richard Rappaport talking about intellectual property. They were all excellent. We had a great crowd for all of those. And my buddy Lloyd Kaufman was there, and he did some of his own stuff, and he was on some of our panels, and he was great as always, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Troma, his production company. And we had a bunch of different Troma films, including Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, which is my favorite of his films. And we did screen the Return to Nukem High Volume 1, which is his latest project. He's working on Volume 2 right now. And unfortunately, I was running around like a chicken and doing so many things, I wasn't able to personally see that film. So I'll have to see it. He said he would hook me up and let me see the film. So I'm looking forward to that. It was very successful. Like I said, we had people from Oklahoma, Texas, Los Angeles. Stu Paul from The Lord of Catan also came out from L.A. Char Cardinal was here from L.A. with Sean Wynn. They did a sword fighting panel, and they also did a Red Reaper panel, and she was on my panel. We just had so much going on. It was great. So if you're a filmmaker out there and you would like to be in the next festival, I know that we're going to be doing one in January, Short Film Festival. I'll be talking about it more here on the show. And then, of course, again in July, we'll be doing the big one. So you can keep track of floridasupercon.com to find out more about what's coming up with all of that. And I'll be giving you more information if you stay tuned to the show. Okay, guys, also, my latest magazine with Lloyd Kaufman on the cover has been released for July, and you can see the magazine if you go to the website, which is www.independentstreak.com, and you can see the magazine. Like always, it's 16 pages. It focuses just on the film industry, and it was also featured in here in Palm Beach. They have a kind of a newsletter that goes out from the Palm Beach Film Commission called Focus on Film, and my magazine was featured there, which was great. So it got a lot of attention this month, so that was excellent. If you are out there and you have a service or product that you would like to advertise in the magazine, please let me know. Or if you'd like to be featured here on the show, if you're a filmmaker and you'd like to be on the show, contact me. The email for both of those things is the same. It's ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's R-A-V, as in Victor, E-N, P-R-O-D-S, like productions. ravenproductions@yahoo.com, and just email me, and I would be happy to take a look at what you have. And also, please like our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/indiestreak, just like the show. And I put up constant events and castings and different things going on, not just in Florida, but elsewhere. So if you have an event or something you want me to advertise on there, that would be free if I just share something on there. So just let me know. Okay, guys, I guess that's a wrap for this show. So we went over a lot today, and I will be back next week with someone new. So same bat channel, same bat time. Tune back in, and I will talk to you then. Okay, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.